Well, I don't know if anyone here has had the dubious pleasure of having a one heart-to-heart chat with a Church of England bishop. Well, over my years, I've had many such conversations, but one in particular, one conversation with a Church of England bishop has stuck with me. It was some 40 years ago, a long time ago, in London. And on that Sunday afternoon, I was sitting in my vicarage, and in the armchair opposite me was sitting one of the bishops of the diocese. He'd come to take a confirmation service in the evening, which was to be held at the church in which I was vicar. Sunday afternoon, and as bishops are wont to do, he very, very kindly said to me, "Well, Raymond, tell me, how's everything going for you? How's it all going here?" And so I started to tell him my story of how things were going and how it was all going in the parish and in my life. And as I told my story, I noticed that his head would rotate like my head's rotating now. And then I noticed that his eyelids very slowly to go up and down. And then I noticed that his breathing became very deep. And then I knew it had fallen asleep. Well, I knew my story wasn't very exciting, but I didn't think it was that boring. But there, vicarage lounge that Sunday afternoon, a sleeping bishop. And the question I had was, what was I going to do with it? I thought, well, should I just carry on regardless and just talk to his lifeless ears in the hope that he would slowly come back to life again? Or should I sort of raise my voice and sort of startle him out of his slumbers? Or even should I say something really outrageous? Last Monday, I stole all the church silver and got it melted down in the hope it might shock him back to life. In fact, I did none of those. I just sat there quietly, stopped talking, and just looked at him and thought, well, the poor bloke, he's weary, he's tired, and the poor chap, he needs a rest. He needs this rest far more than hearing me speak to him. And so it is for all of us at times, isn't it? It's part of being human, because bishops, like all of us, they're just humans. And for all of us at times, there's a certain weariness in life. And we sense, goodness me, I need a rest. And some of the occasions this weariness comes are the fabric of our lives on this earth. For example, if you're a young parent, baby, newly born, you know you're going to have some weary months getting up in the middle of the night, feeding the infant, part and parcel parent. Or sometimes in the fabric of our lives, you know, the work which we do, if we're in paid employment, it's lots of demands made by our customers or clients and expectations put upon us by our employers. Yeah, there's lots of normal, everyday things in daily living which make us weary. But there are also more subtle things which make us feel weary. You know, all the anxieties which we tend to carry within us, in our stomachs or deep within, those anxieties can make us feel weary. All the inner conflicts which we haven't quite resolved, we're still trying to work, they tire us. And all the regrets we have about the past, they make us feel we're rather slow and unable to have the energy we ought to have. And all the bad news, you know, the constant bad news we turn on, as we do at our house, the 6 o'clock BBC news, and inevitably it's stories of murders and people being killed in war or cost of living crisis. And when you're fed, any of us fed constantly, it tends to weary us. Perhaps as a society at the moment, we are a weary society. And even our service of God, even our service of God can sometimes make us feel weary. I recall, again, another conversation I had some 50 years ago now. I was a student, and a friend of mine, Roz, a Christian girl, and she said to me one day, she said, "Yo, Ray," she said, I've got a bit of this problem. And she said, "Summer, I need to go on holiday. I want to go on holiday. I have the opportunity to have a really lovely holiday. Same time as the holiday, I've been asked to go on a camp for children, a Christian camp to help young children." And she said, "Ray, I really want to go on that holiday, but I think I ought to go on that camp." And so I discussed, I said, "Well, what makes you want to give up your holiday that you ought to go on the camp?" And, "Well, Ray," she said, "I think that if I don't go on that camp, that God won't be pleased with me." And it transpired that part of Roz's image of God, a wrong image of God, as I tried to point out, was that God was a sort of a hard taskmaster. You know, a God who was all the time demanding and demanding and demanding, so his faithful followers might be crushed and out of energy and just sheer weary. And I said, "Dear Roz, no, no, no. Simply ain't like that. Because in this morning's gospel reading, Jesus, he says to his disciples, his followers of old, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest.'" Jesus, the graciousness of Jesus, the love of Jesus to weary people, you know, all of us in our anxieties and tensions, all the things that sap our energy. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, the thing to do is to do more for me and you'll be great." No, he says, "Look, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest." And that's one of the discover throughout the Bible, that there are many sort of parts to God, many attributes to God. And of course, we understand the essence of who God is by looking at Jesus. Jesus, who said he was from God, the Word made flesh. What's God like? Look at Jesus. God's like that. And Jesus, yes, gives the attribute of God of rest. Going back to the Old Testament, book of Genesis, the first chapter, marvellous first chapter, the word off the page and the underlying truths they can take a whole lifetime to absorb. And the first chapter, there's God busy in creation. You know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be the earth," there was the earth. God said, "Let there be the sun and the moon," and there was the sun. This wonderful story of creation, and for 6 days God creating, wonderful. Then the storyteller says, on the seventh day, rested. One of the attributes of God is that he's a God who's marked by rest, not by constant hyperactivity, not by rushing and, you know, trying to do lots and lots of more things. Not a God who's taking more and more burdens. "I must do this." He's a God who has about him the attribute of rest. And that's how it came to be, of course, about the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath day. The Sabbath, it was meant to be a day of recreation for people, a day of renewal, a day of reigniting that energy which is often given in daily life. I mean, sadly, like what we human beings do, we started messing it up, not just Jewish folk, but Christian folk, imprisoning it in all sorts of rules and regulations. Well, God ain't like that. He's not a God of rules and regulations. He's a God of grace. And part of his grace to us is that he's a God who has this great attribute of rest and says, "Look, folks, I want you to have that attribute of rest as well. Come to me, weary, and I'll give you rest." And the God of the book of Genesis, the Old Testament, who has about him and calling us who want to follow him, calling the whole world to a sense of Sabbath, not just one day a week, have about our lives a sense of Sabbath. Not always rushing around and forcing ourselves to do things for God or trying to impress God or do things for others. Active for God, yes. He calls us, responds to his love for us, to serve the world by loving the world too. We are called to action, but in the midst of that action, have within us that quality which is an attribute of God, which is the quality of rest. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And it may be, it just may be, the sort of church the world needs in our times in which we live. They're not a church increasingly active, increasingly asking its members to take on more and more and more and more. Not a church part of the hyperactivity of this world in which is ours. But maybe the church, its calling in our time, part of its calling, is to have about it a sense of rest, a sense of peace, a sense of spaciousness, a spaciousness in which coming to the churches of orbit may find space in which they can tell their stories, a listening church, a church is there with that spaciousness that people may be affirmed in their worth and dignity and find that worth and dignity in the midst of the church's life. A church which is called not to activity, called to serve God, yes, but a church which has within that activity, within that service. And I recall again a third and final story of many years ago. This was again many years ago. A friend of mine, a clergy friend, he had in his study this great big sofa, you know, big old-fashioned sofa, enormous sort of bulky sort of thing. And he told me one day, he said, you know, he said, when I have people come to discuss their weddings with me, I take them in my study and I sit them on the sofa. Inevitably and understandably, when they sit on that sofa, they sit on the very edge, bolt upright. Inevitable because, well, they're usually a bit nervous being with a vicar and talking about their marriage. So they sit there, he said, bolt upright on the sofa. And he says, you know, he said, the first thing I do to them, I say, look, rest, be at peace. Just lean back onto the sofa. And he said to me, and then I see them sort of inwardly let go. And they lean back. And he said, and that big, bulky sofa envelopes them. And that's how it is with God, you see, that God's calling to us isn't to sit on the, as it were, the love and sort of sit back and trying to please him or, you know, rush around for him, be sort of, no, that's not his calling to us. His calling to us is, look, rest, be at peace. Back into my love, he says. And when you lean back into his love, that presence can envelope us. And so, this morning, good news for all of us who feel weary and, you know, taking their toll, not got the energy we feel we ought to have. And the good news is that the God reveals us, the God at the heart of all our lives, isn't a God who demands we exhaust ourselves for him in a wrong way, or that we try and do more and more and more for him and sort of burn ourselves out in a wrong way. That's not what God's business is, because his business is to love us and to seek our well. Across the years comes those words of Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, you rest. We find our rest in Christ, that somehow, somewhere, living our lives with him, and in fact that other very briefly, when Jesus spoke about his yoke, you know, he said about my yoke is easy. A yoke was for two oxes, and you know, they'd pull the ploughs across the fields. And Jesus, a carpenter, he would have made every ox in the Holy Land in those days, its yoke was made specially to fit that ox. And so Jesus said, look, my yoke, you know, the yoke, it's simple and easy. You know, it fits you just as you want it to be fitted. It's who you really are. God doesn't put yokes and you can't bear. And also a yoke was for two animals, you know, two oxen together. And so it's a picture perhaps hidden there of we being yoked with Jesus. So we're living our lives with him, walking through this world with him. To me, having that rest which he seeks to give, letting our burdens rest upon him. So for my sleeping bishop, just briefly back to him. And as I sat there, I remember that far off day, I recalled some words of St. Augustine. And he was a saint who lived about 400 years after Christ. And Augustine wrote of God, he said, "O God, made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." And there was my bishop. I thought, yes, he's finding his rest this afternoon. Part of my calling, I sense, was God using the timbre of my voice so that Bishop might indeed doze off. And as I look at you this morning, I've not yet spotted, by the way, anybody who's dozed off, that the timbre of my voice hasn't made you all start the odd 30 seconds or a minute during my talk. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Because maybe, again, God wanted you to come here this morning because he knew you needed rest. Good news. God, a God of many parts, and one of us in the essence of God is rest. And his calling to us is, yes, to respond by serving others, giving ourselves. That's how we best love God, letting his love throw us to others. It's an active service, but his calling is that in the midst of that action, in the midst of that service, we might bear within us that same mark of rest. And then by his grace, help bring something of that rest to our anxious and hyperactive world, this which is ours.